What do Christmas and Bible prophecy have to do with each other? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim conclude Bible prophecy and the signs of the times.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're just celebrating Christmas this week. Hallelujah. Billy Brim is here, and she's teaching us some things about dates and seasons and prophetic things from the Bible, the signs of the end, the end of days, as the Hebrews say, the end of days. We say end times. They say the end of days.
The six days.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Going into the seventh.
And we're close, aren't
we, Billy?
We're
very, very close. We're right at the door. We can tell it by the signs of the times that we see all around us. Now, God introduced us to signs and times in Genesis 1.
Yes.
So He's not afraid of them. He doesn't want you afraid of them.
That's right.
He wants you to be able to read them. Some people are just shudder if you even mention prophecy. Like,
I
would never understand that. My
prophetic
goodness.
Utterance.
It's easy to understand. He says he's bringing the Jews home. You go to Israel, you see them brought from every place. While I was there, we saw some of the lost tribes brought from Peru. We saw some brought from India. They came in the week we were there. God's word is full of prophecy, signs, and times. And we're going to talk about that with Christianity and with Christmas. Now, yesterday, we ended up in the Bullinger Bible. And if you didn't see that yesterday, can't they go online maybe and see it again? I'm not sure
exactly. You can go online
and watch it again. And you can see what we had to say and what Bullinger has to say in this companion Bible, which we've used for years and years, and which is like an education in the Hebrew, education in the Greek. And you can see how Bullinger says, and I agree with him, you don't have to, that he believes that our Lord was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and in the year he was born, that would have pushed his conception date back to December 25th. And so, no matter what,
he was born.
But you know what? I don't like people telling me all the time, pagans decided this and pagans decided that. And
can't pay attention to people.
Well, I know. And you know, even with our Sunday worship. In the Bible, the Lord is very plain to the Jews that they keep the Shabbat, and they do, and they rightfully should. But why do we worship on Sunday? And I'm going to tell you why we do. Oh, they give you that sun god, da-da-da-da, and all this, and it's pagan date choosing. I don't think so. In the first chapter, where God introduces to us time, He introduces us to a thing called days. And let's look here in the Bible. We see that certain things were done. Let's look at verse 5, Genesis 1:5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And then we see, and that's the way they count days, evening and morning. And then they have, and that's the way the Jews say it right
now. So the new day starts.
In the evening, when the sun goes down.
Okay.
And then it's over the next day when the sun goes down. And so the evening and the morning is, the Bible calls it, the first day. And then it says in verse 8, the second day. And then it says, it goes on down to verse 13, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and then the seventh day, Shabbat. So the first day of the week is called the first day. That's what they call it today. In Israel, they don't say Sunday. They say the first day, Yom Rishon. Yom is day. Rishon is first. Yom Sheni, the second day. Now, those apostles, they were all Jews. And why do we worship on the first day of the week? I have run some scriptures for you, and I'm going to just read it to you. You don't have to look it up. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Yom Rishon. All Jews know what day that is. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Mark 16:2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, Yom Rishon, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he arose on Yom Rishon. That's our message. Resurrection is our message. And he arose on Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, Yom Rishon, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. John 20:19. Now, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Yom Rishon is still Yom Rishon, just before sunset. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Shalom Aleichem, peace upon you. He appeared to them. He'd been to heaven, taken his blood, it was received. He came back, still Yom Rishon, when he appeared to those disciples. Now, we're in Acts chapter 20. The Lord's already risen, already ascended, gone to heaven. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, Yom Rishon, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Paul was preaching. They were all gathered on Yom Rishon, which was a day we would call Sunday. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Upon the first day of the week, Yom Rishon, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, take up your collections on the first day of the week. Why? Because they were assembled on the first day of the week. And so, I think it's just perfectly appropriate that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, and that we meet on Sundays, and I'm not willing to give it over to the pagans.
Okay.
Bless the Lord. Now,
we agree with you.
We see here in Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, moeds, appointed times, appointed dates, for days and for years. Now, what are some of these things that are in the heavenlies? Sun, moon, stars. God has used stars in his day as signs. Mm-hmm. And he especially used a star when Jesus came.
That's right.
And I want to just look at a little something in the Word of God that blesses me. You can take it or leave it, whatever you think.
We want it. We'll take it.
But let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3. You know, you have to dig around. When you do dig around the Word of God, you find some amazing things. I want to tell you that I cannot even remember who pointed this out to me. I thought it was Bullinger and in his reference Bible, but it wasn't. So I can't give the person credit that I learned this from. I'm sure it was in some of my readings. I've read and read and read and read and read and read, and so have you. And this is going to be in Jeremiah chapter 39.
I thought you said 3.
I did say 3.
39.
Can you forgive me?
Well, yes.
Bless the Lord.
I forgive you.
Okay.
My humble one. Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 39. And we're going to look here. Now, what is the case? We've been saying that the prophets are a light shining in a dark place. And we're going to really look at those when we come back here in January 14 through 18. Look at signs of the year 2008, what could happen. Now, here we are, and the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, they were all around the time when the first temple, we call it Solomon's Temple, was destroyed and the Jews carried off into Babylonian captivity. And this has to do with the Babylonians. They came over. They carried off some of the elitist Jews first, and then they came back. So we're going to read here, and it's about when they're coming over. Jeremiah chapter 39, 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. They set up a siege around it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, this is 2 years later, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, the city was broken up. They got through the walls. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Now it's going to give their names. I'm going to guess at it. Nergal-Sharaser, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsekim, Rabnaris. Only four men are named here. Here's the fourth one's name. Nergal Sharaser, Rab Mag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. Now, the man's name is Nergal Sharaser. His title is Rab Mag. Jesus' name is Yeshua. His title is Mashiach. His Christ is not his name. It's not his last name. It's a title, the Anointed One. So here's a man, a Babylonian man that's come in to carry off the Jews, and he's one of the princes of Babylon, and he's got the title of Rab Mag. Now, if you have a Strong's Concordance, it's easy to use. You just look up any word in here. You got your Strong's Concordance. You look up the word right here in the Bible. You go to Strong's Concordance. He got a number by it, and he tells you the meaning of it. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know anything. So I looked up this, and go on down to verse 13. Let's read this too. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushaban, Rabsaris, Nergal-Shalzar, the Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes. So here we see the man's name again, Nergal-Sharezer. But his title is Rabmag. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to go to our Strong's Concordance. We're going to look up Rabmag. It's in there. It's got a number, 7248. Here's what 7248 says. It tells us that it comes from a root word, 7227, and it tells us that the meaning is the chief Magian, M-A-G-I-A-N, Rab, chief Magian, Rab Mag, Magian, M-A-G-I-A-N. Now, the root that it comes from, the word Rab, 7227, means abundant in quantity, size, age, or rank. So he has an abundant rank, and he is the chief one over a group called the Magian. If you left off the A-N at the end, you'd have the word what? M-A-G-I.
Oh.
You heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
The Magi.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the chief of all the Magis, and he's got that title. Now, let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. There is such an office in Babylon, is what we want you to see. Daniel chapter 2. We know that they carried off Daniel and some of the Hebrew children, the brightest princes of the day. Mm-hmm. They carried them off. You know the story of how Daniel wouldn't partake of the food of the king Nebuchadnezzar. He kept himself holy. He ate kosher. And then he went through the king's college. And at the end of 3 years, they had to take an oral test. And here's what happened at the oral test that the king gave to Daniel and the three Hebrew children, and along with a lot of others. But in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave Daniel, and we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they had, that was their names at Babylonian names. They were other names. They were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. They became his advisors. They stood in his council. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magi and astrologers that were in the realm. They're 10 times smarter than any of them. Even that chief rab himself, the Rab Mag. Now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was given a prophecy. He was given a prophecy about the times of the Gentiles and all the empires that were coming. He saw a great image. Daniel interpreted that to him prophetically. And the king said, Daniel said in verse 20. Let's go to verse 27 of Daniel 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." This is Babylon. And they really put a lot of stock in the astrologers and in the soothsayers and in the magicians. And they studied astronomy. They studied the heavens. But there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets.
Hallelujah.
And makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the end of days.
End of
right
days.
Down at the end of days when we're living. That's what that is all about. Now, let's look at chapter 2, verse 48. Is that right? Chapter 2, verse 48. Yes. Now, verse 48 is King Nebuchadnezzar, what he does for Daniel after he's interpreted the image. Verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. They got a new Rob Mug, and his name is Chief Magian is Daniel. He's the head of them over them all. Now, in chapter 4, we're going to see this again. And this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. Daniel's Babylonian name was Belteshazzar. Verse 4. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. Nebuchadnezzar's talking. This is Daniel 4:8, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, Rab Mag. He names him master. This word, Rab, can be translated master. Master of the magicians. So Daniel became the Rab Mag. He became the master of the magi. He became the chief one. He taught them. Now let's go over into, and you can see that again in 5:11, Daniel 5:11. We won't take time to read it, but let's go into Matthew chapter 1 and see what we could find here. Signs of his coming. Isn't that interesting? Matthew chapter 1. I'm getting tickled. I'm getting excited. I'm thinking about Christmas and why there's a star on the top of the tree.
Hallelujah.
When I was a little girl, I was just so little, but it was still World War II. And you could not get everything because things were like rationed. And my daddy, it was the only one I remember what was on the top of our tree. And daddy cut out from cardboard a star. And we saved our gum wrappers and got tinfoil off of them.
Jesus.
And we took that apart. We saved it for a long time. And we covered that star. Mm. That's my favorite treetop of all time.
Praise God.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, it tells us in Micah that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He is the bread. That's a prophecy. Prophecy concerning his first coming. Now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Doesn't tell us how many they are. Doesn't tell us exactly where they're from. Tradition's given them names, isn't that? But that's just tradition. The Bible only tells us they were wise men and they were from the east. Here is their question. This is the first question in the New Testament, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For have we not seen his star in the east and are come to worship him? These are wise men from the east.
That's right.
Probably from over in that area of Mesopotamia, of where Babylon was, even Iran over in that part. And they're magi. We call them the magi. How do they know there's going to be a star? Someone, I believe, and I studied this after someone else, told them, a Rab Mag that they had long ago, spoke to them about Numbers 24, which says there's going to rise a star, and he's going to be the king. We saw his star in the east. Somebody told him. You see, we have no idea, but Adam lived a long, long time, and he lived way down, and people heard Adam for many, many years. And people accept your teaching and mine. And we're still talking about John G. Lake. Well, over in the east, they remember that Rab Mag. His name was Daniel. And he told them, there's coming a king of the Jews in the last days. For we have seen his star. Remember what he said in the Word? Remember what he said in Genesis 1:14? These are going to be, what were they? Moon, sun, stars. These are going to be Signs. Here's a sign.
Amen.
And they saw this sign. We have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him.
Praise.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he demanded of them where the anointed one, the Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. See the prophetic sign? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But it says, and it quotes it here, but thou Bethlehem or Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least of the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. A king. He's
Glory
coming.
To God.
A star brought them there. And Herod, he sent. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. So when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. To me, I've heard, you know, the theories that on such and such a date, a lot of stars and planets lined up. To me, all problems are settled if you just let this be a supernatural star. Numbers 24:17 said there would be a star. It was a sign of his coming. And that star moved and guided them right over where he was. Right back from Genesis 1:14, just like God told us. I'm going to put the sun, I'm going to put the moon, I'm going to put the stars, and they're going to be signs to you of the appointed time.
Praise
God. The appointed
God.
Time came, the fullness of time, Galatians, when he was born of a virgin, and a star marked it. And all the Bible fits together. Isn't and I it? Say unto you, not happy holidays, but I say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That's right. Don't let people talk you out of saying Merry Christmas. If it weren't for Jesus, there wouldn't be Christmas.
No.
There'd just be another old day. But because he came.
Prophesied in Genesis.
Yes. We can have a Merry Christmas. So let that have new meaning to you. And if you've been one of those people that you let people talk you out of stuff, go back to the Bible and tell everybody you see. Merry Christmas. Billy and I'll be right back.
Brother Copeland really helped us, and Gloria has helped us to feel very encouraged in our faith because we found out we are somebody. We know who we are in Christ now.
It raises your expectancy because you just know when you're all in one accord, God's here and there's going to be something awesome that's going to happen.
So like Brother Copeland, the message that he has is, it's for now. It's not just what's going to happen, but it's what God is doing today.
You can be set free from bondages, addictions, and it's just a good place to come and get to know the Lord.
Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Billy's going to share some word with us concerning the offering today, and we're going to receive it. Hallelujah.
And we're going to take it, Gloria, right from where we've been.
Amen.
The star that was a sign of his coming and the Magi. And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We do not know how many there were, but we know there were three gifts, and that's why there came the tradition there were three. We don't know how many there were, But we give gifts because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And here we see that when men worshiped Him, they brought gifts. We are also told in the book of Acts that there was this Roman centurion, Cornelius, and his alms and his prayers came up before the Lord. So these gifts came up before the Father that they gave to that young child and his mother and financed, I'm quite sure, the things that they had to do and the going into Egypt and the coming back and the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And today is offering day. And I believe the best thing you could do is give Him your life, your service.
Yes, amen.
But you could give an offering to the Lord through the ministry of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I don't know of anyone who's doing with what God gives them like they are. And you could give that gift and worship when you do.
Yes.
Take that check, take that dollar bill, whatever, and worship the Lord and say, I worship you. I'm so glad you came. And I'm giving to you this the way we can do it now in the earth through this ministry. And just think of it. Our government is blessed. They will give you a tax donation. And if you get that in here before December 31st, you can take it off of your taxes this very year. You'll be blessed. The government will be blessed. The work of God will be blessed. And it's in line with the Bible.
Praise God. We just thank you, Father. We thank you for blessing the people as they sow. We thank you, Father, for giving them a wonderful Christmas.
Yes.
With Jesus right in the middle of it, Lord. You are right in the middle of it. And we give you all honor and praise for the coming year and for revealing things to us about this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Next week is Christmas. Billy and I'll be back in January. Ken and I'll see you next week. You have a wonderful, marvelous Christmas season. We love you and Jesus loves you. And we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours. As time ticks closer to eternity, will God find faith in the earth? Make sure He finds it in you. Walk through the open door of faith, victory, and power with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Step into your destiny through the word-based teachings of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Be encouraged by the real-life stories of other believers and so much more. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, transforming lives through the power of God's Word.